in this phenomenal document. I went into my bedroom and I got down on my knees and I cried. I cried until I was cleansed. I didn't cry because I was hurt. I cried because I had sinned. How refreshing it was then to be forgiven. Do you see why I say the cross of Christ is so wonderful? You say, well, have you been critical since then, Bessie? I say, yes, but I smell it when it's coming. And I'll do anything. I'll do anything to avoid it. And I believe I've been easier to live with since then. And it's a problem when you really want things to happen in church and among Christians. You want your family and your husband and everybody to be so spiritual, and there you are sitting up on the judge's seat, handing down sentences, and it's not right, ladies. And I believe this, as I told you this morning, our husbands are put under the microscope. Now, you single girls, remember this, if you don't remember anything else. When you marry a man, and you said you loved him, and you're going to support him, and you're going to be a helpmeet to him. And it isn't long before the wedding is over, and you're established in your home, before you start picking at him. In the heart of every woman is a born reformer. And you say, oh, I'm not going to do that. But in little subtle ways, dear, I wish you wouldn't do thus and so. 2 years later, dear, why do you do thus and so? And then before you know it, you are in the critic's corner, passing down judgments on your dear family. You say, well, what if they need it? Yes, but who made you the judge? My time is gone. But I feel so strongly about, I want you to have time before dinner, though, to have your own time with the Lord. Now, I've opened my heart to you because this, to me, is an ugly sin. But what about some of the sin you're cherishing? Is it as ugly? It may be that you are not the one to criticize it, but everybody criticizes you, and so you adopt a don't-care attitude and say, well, I'm going to show these Christians. They're not going to push me around. And who are they to check me on anything? You know, a gentle and a quiet spirit longs for somebody else to come and give you a hand. God has blessed me with three lovely daughters-in-law. Lovely daughter, too, but it's, you know, you're taking a chance when you let your sons get married. And it's so precious. Some of you know Meredith. Her attitude has always been, can you tell me anything that will make me a better woman for the Lord? Boy, isn't that neat? No trouble with daughters-in-law when they have a heart for God. But I'm just saying that you have to watch and say, Lord, is there anything you want to talk to me about? You may not think there is anything. This may not have rung any bells in your heart. But the psalmist prayed, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see. Just see, Lord, if there's any wicked way in me. Why? Because I want to get out of that wicked way into your way. Lead me in the way everlasting. I had some other things here. I believe that, and I'll just mention them, so that when you go to have your own time with the Lord, if you're free and clear, No big deal. But if there's anything the Lord has been nudging you about, some of these things will help. I think one we have to watch, especially you college girls, is not to get caught up in issues, but in principles. You go around saying, what do you think about this politically? What do you think about that? What do you think about this? And we get caught up in issues. And your spiritual life can go downhill because the Word of God is to incorporate into our lives principles that will guard us in any situation. You You don't have to be caught up in an issue if you know the Lord and His Word, because the moment the issue comes up, you say, well, the Scripture just says that's not right. And as I mentioned to you, was it last night or this morning, that the business of what women think and the polls that women take on all the different issues, does it make abortion right? If 98% of the American women think it's right, does that make it right? No. What is the principle? It's God's view of mankind, God's view of babies. And you can take this on almost any level, but let's not be issue-oriented, but women of the Word of God. Lack of love. Again, I think of Corrie ten Boom with Romans 5, 1 and 2. Because Corrie had a problem of forgiveness when a man who had been a guard in the prison camp she was in, met her in Germany after the war, came forward with a beaming face and said, you know me, but now I am a Christian. God has forgiven my sin. I'll never forget Corrie's response. She said at that moment, she said, an awful well of hatred came up in my heart, and I thought, yes, you can be forgiven, and my father and sister are dead. And then she said, what was I doing? And she said, just this happened in an instant. She said, the sins which God had put in the depths of the sea, Corrie ten Boom was digging up. And she said, I reached out my hand and rejoiced with him over his salvation. Lack of love will lead to unforgiveness. There are many more things, and these are not brought to your attention to make you grovel or anything else like that, but rather so that you'll be free to draw on the grace of God. And tonight we'll talk about that. Shall we pray?